Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'm going to walk back here really quick and grab my Bible because I read something this morning. And as we sang that song, I could really just feel God wanted me to read it. Amen. So,
amen.
Psalms 59:16. And I didn't even know really what exactly touched me about this verse, but I read it like 5 times this morning. Just this part. And when we were singing this, I could really just feel God bringing those words to life. Psalms 59:16 says, "But I will sing of your strength and will joyfully proclaim your faithful love in the morning. For you have been a stronghold for me, a refuge in my day of trouble. To you, my strength, I sing praises, because God is my stronghold, my faithful God." You know, even if this is really something God's even just talking to me about, I want to share it because I think I've talked about it a few times. We are really standing on God for some things with our business right now. Every time we feel like God's come through on some things, there's this moment of like, okay, what you said, we're going to stand on. Regardless of what we see and regardless of what's happening. We've been going through some things that are completely out of control, our hands and our business. And it's one of those things where it's like, I'd love to like do something, change something. I'd love to, you know, get my hands in there and start like trying to make some shifts. But God has talked to us about some things. And Oscar and I, as husband and wife, have come together and been like, okay, the really easy thing to do would be this. But God's told us something, so we're going to stand on it. Amen. And regardless of what's been coming against us, we've chosen, just like what that said in the Bible, to make God our stronghold, our refuge. With everything that pushes against us, we've decided to just, even when it's out of our control, to be like, God, you're the only one who can do anything. So we're turning to you in these moments. And can I tell you that it does not matter what comes against you in your life. You have everything you need in that book. Every promise, everything that you need is in there. There's nowhere else you gotta look. There's nowhere else you gotta go. And when you struggle and when you feel tired and down, just like it said, you are my strength, God. And we'll continue to go after you. And that's the thing. All you gotta do is go after him. We complicate things when we think, oh, but what I see here and what I need to do, God, like, I don't know, it's not working out. Our minds complicate things when all we gotta do is exactly like the Bible tells us, that standing still and letting him fight our battles is so often us just turning to him. Yes. It's just making that choice that instead of focusing on what's here, I'm gonna focus on you. All the time. No matter what happens, no matter what comes at me, no matter what situation, what issue, what anything, I'm telling you this way, it doesn't matter. because he knew that it was coming before it came, and he's prepared you. And if you continue to go after the word, it seems so simple, and it is simple, but we let emotions get in the way. When we start to panic, when we're not sure, when we have those people calling, I need this. What's going on? What's happening? It's still in those moments that you just gotta go, God, you know the need. You know exactly what's happening, and I'm turning to you. It's a choice every single time. And as we learn to make these choices in our lives, we begin to start to see what it's like to not walk according to the things of this earth, but to walk according to the kingdom. Amen. It really is a building up, right? As you go through things, as God takes you through things, he teaches you things. And as he teaches you, he takes you to a new place. It's a building up. Count it all joy, because he knows what he's doing. And as we go into this next song, I think it's extremely fitting. We're not a slave to anything on this earth. We're not a slave to fears, to the circumstances, the burdens, nothing. God tells us that he's taken care of it for us. He's made us more than conquerors. Hallelujah. So this morning, as we go into this song, I just want to encourage you, whatever is happening in your life, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's just at work, maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe you're just dealing with sadness or there's something in your life that's happening. I just want to encourage you, just lay it at his feet this morning. Just let it go and allow him to give you what he's wanting to give you this morning, to place something inside of you.
Yes. How do you do? Hello. Hello. Hello, hello. Okay. I got to give you a little bit of background before I start into this. Okay, I've been married 57 years in November. The Lord doesn't make any mistakes, and all things work together for good.
Yeah.
He knows everything before it's happened. And so whenever I met my to-be husband of 57 years. I was a Catholic. He had a background of being dragged to church with his high school buddies and friends. His mother and father went to church, and then they stopped going to church, and they drank all the time, and they sent him with his friends. So that was his background. He had a very believing, praying grandmother who I know that's why we were put together. I have spent probably 5 operations on this right foot, and it's been going from right now bad to worse, what it looks like. Tomorrow morning, I'm supposed to be at St. Joseph's Hospital to have the tip of my big toe guillotined off. So I'm thinking, well, maybe when I go to have a pedicure, they'll give me a 10% discount because I won't have that toe. But humor, humor. Okay. So I got a lot of things done this week, and the one week I was able to drive, in between not being able to drive for 2 weeks waiting for this to heal, but it hasn't. And so I was toying with whether or not I should come today, because I took all of the things for the veterans collection over and dropped it off yesterday. But when I was praying, Lord, should I come today? Well, that verse in Psalms, one of them was for me. That was for me. But he also gave me, when I opened up this book, something that I was to share with you. And so we were sitting at the breakfast table, and my husband said, well, what's going on today? I know what's going on tomorrow morning, but what's going on today? And I said, well, let me get this and read this to you. a person who doesn't want to hear anything from God or the Word, but I was told I'm supposed to read this to him. Taste and see that I am good. The more intimately you experience me, the more convinced you become of my goodness. I am the living one who sees you through and longs to participate in your life. I am training you to find me in each moment and to be a channel of my loving presence. Sometimes my blessings come to you in mysterious ways, through pain and trouble. At such times, you can know my goodness only through your trust in me. Understanding will fail you, but trust will keep you close to me. Thank me for the gift of my peace, a gift of such immense proportion that you cannot fathom its depth and breadth. When I appeared to my disciples after the resurrection, it was peace that I communicated to them first of all. When he came through that door, he said, "My peace I give you." I knew this was their deepest need, to calm their fears and clear their mind. I also speak peace to you, for I know your anxious thoughts. And believe me, you can have some anxious thoughts when you know that they're going to cut the tip of your toe off. Tune out other voices so that you can hear me more clearly. I designed you to dwell in peace all day, yes. Every day. Yes. Draw near to me, receive my peace. We're going to give you Psalm 34:8, which says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, yes. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful." So, my husband didn't look at me, I didn't look at him. I was reading this, a face crying as I was reading it. He had nothing else to say, but I know that right now, things are going through his mind tomorrow morning. I know that God is able to restore and heal and deliver and do anything he wants to. And I wouldn't be upset if tomorrow they took the bandage off and they looked at this foot and said, "Oh, we don't have to take it off." But I am willing to give that foot up for his salvation, if that's what it takes. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, the Holy Spirit works in wondrous ways. This morning when I was with him, he told me that he loved everyone here and that there are people here that are wounded. There are people that are hurting. And what he wants is to restore healing, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Everything, every need that is here, he wants to restore healing. And he took me to Amos. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Everything we've been hearing tonight is about, today, excuse me, is about, it's been a long night. I was with him last night too. It's about restoration and healing. So he wants to restore healing. He wants to restore everything that the locust has destroyed in your life. He's about replenishing and restoring. And he backed it up, as he always does, with Amos 9:11. And he says, "In that day, I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins and rebuild it as it is used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the nations that hear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things." He has declared that he will heal and restore every one of you. Everything that the enemy has taken from you, everything, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, he is restoring. And this is what his word is. And we stand on his promises and his words because he is our God. El Shaddai, Almighty God. God who can do all things in Christ Jesus.
Just like Rebecca and Oscar, my husband and I have also been standing on a promise for a long time. It's been about 16 years we've been praying for this promise.
Come on.
And as I shared last week about, I'm a DIYer. I get stuff done. There's something needs to be done, I do it. And in this situation, everything that we have tried to do, there's been a roadblock to try to make this promise happen. And I know those roadblocks are there for a reason, because the only way that it's going to happen is God's got to do something, because everything we've done, it's out of our hands. There's nothing we can do about this situation. So we've been praying, we've been standing on his promise for 16 years, but because I know that we are children of God, I know that he will provide. And all of my fears, and I mean, 16 years is a long time to wait, and you know, yeah, those thoughts start creeping in, well, maybe I didn't hear him right, or maybe it's not gonna happen, but no, because I know that he's a child of, that we're a child of God, and I know that my daddy is going to make it happen.
Yeah, come on.
And so that fear, whatever it is that creeps in, I know that's all gone now, because that's been replaced by an excitement, because I know it's going to happen, and I'm so excited to see how God is going to do it. I'm so excited. I know it's going to happen, and Rebecca and Oscar Absolutely. Know it's going to happen for you too.
Come on.
And I'm excited to share our testimony when it does happen, and I'm excited to hear your testimony when it happens.
Praise God, hallelujah. How many of you are God's kids? How many belong to God? Amen. Hallelujah. I like where it said, you called me from my mother's womb. How many know that God knew you? You've always have been known. 1930, you have been known. 1910, you've been known. Is that okay? From the 1800s, you were known. You've always been known, because God knew you when he created this whole thing. He knew the end from the beginning. He knows you. Is that okay? You've always been known. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. And he knows where he's taking you. He knows what he's going to do for you. So just trust him. How many say amen to that? Amen. Hey, just wait on him. Just say, okay, God, I can't do nothing about it, but I know you can. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Sometimes it's kind of like that. Oh, well, I know you can. Yeah. But he can. He will. Can you say amen to that? Folks, we serve a big God. He's able to do far more abundantly what we can ask or think. Can you say amen to that? He knows, he knows, he knows. Learn to worship him in the worst times. Can you say amen to that? The worst, what feels like worst times, learn to worship him. You'll find out that those are some of the best times. Can you say amen to that? I have found that out. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Raise your hand if you're a child of God, man. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Ooh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's give him a clap offering. Let's tell him, Lord, hey, God, we love you. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. You have opened to us things that we never knew. Can you say amen to that? Things we've never seen, things we've never heard of. You are opening these things to us, Father. So we thank you this morning. Woo! Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost in here. So you want to call him the Holy Spirit? That's fine too. Ooh, but he's here. Rise up, oh God. Rise up, Lord, and strengthen and build and teach your people this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Open your ears. Everybody say, open my ears. Yeah, I'm opening my ears, Lord. I'm leaning in today to hear from you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. We better get going. We've got some baptisms to do. I mean, I love baptisms. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to Sarita House of Worship. First of all, welcome. I want to say to you, if just so happens that during the course of this, the word that comes out, this pond here is open to everybody. Not all at once, though, okay? So if you sense you've, hey, man, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and rededicate or redo that baptism again because, you know, I've gone through some stuff. I've gone through things that man, you know, kind of slowed me up a little bit, man. Because sometimes, how you know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes we go through things and it kind of shifts your perspective with God. And God, man, I can tell you that the only place we need to have our perspective, it's on what God is doing for us. Can you say amen to that? Continue to keep looking to God. Continue to keep speaking to Him, talking to Him, praying. You know, hey, just talking to God is praying. How many say amen? Amen. Just talk to Him. Lord, hey. Talking to a brother yesterday, and he said that he gets up in the morning, his knees are doing okay. He says, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Says he drops something, and can sometimes it's hard to pick things up, so he'll pick it up. He'll say, thank you, Lord. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I will tell you that God loves the praises of his people. He loves it when you tell him thanks. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Gratitude to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for what he's done for you. Amen. The title of today's message is I forgot.
No lie.
No lie. No lie. I forgot that. Yeah, come on, man. No lie. Amen. It's cold outside. No lie, right? You ever, anybody said that? Yeah, that's no lie. It's hot outside. That's no lie. Yeah. Yeah, that's no lie. Hallelujah. How many? Can I tell you that sometimes we're a little prone to say not quite the truth? Has anybody said that? Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
We're kind of prone to stretch the truth. How many say amen?
Yeah.
How many know that God will never lie to you? Do you know that? He will never lie, okay? Our power verse today is, hey, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would repent. Why would he repent about the things he said to us? Is that okay? God's not going to repent on those things. What he's told us, they're true. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The promises of God are true. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to go into the Word. I promised everybody that, hey, we're going to try to keep this short because we have a baptism to do. And they laughed. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, my wife goes, liar. Yeah, yeah. You liar. I say, yo, no. This is a word I'm going to try. There's a big emphasis on try. I'm going to try to keep this short.
No lie.
Yeah, no lie. Maybe I shouldn't have named it No Lie, man. Yeah. Praise God. But if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 22 in your Bibles. How many have a Bible with you? How many of you have a phone with you? Look at all the hands, man. Yeah, hey, it's okay. It's all right. Some folks are fast with a phone. I'm not so fast. I like my Bible. Hallelujah. Genesis 22. I better be quiet. Stay going. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, as we read your word, Father, open those things, Father God, that you have for us today. This is the day that you have made. Father, we are rejoicing and we're glad in it, Father. But today, Father, open our hearts by the whispering of your Holy Spirit, the breath, the pneuma of God into our hearts. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after those things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into a place where of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off." What's kind of crazy is God told him to sacrifice Isaac. How many say amen? Yeah? We all know the story. But know this, look at that. I mean, Abraham is walking with this knowledge of what he's about to do for 3 days. Is that okay? And so I would say every day gets a little harder and a little harder, wouldn't you say? Every day, you know, every day could be say, you know what? Maybe we ought to just go home. No? I don't know, God. I don't want to do 3 days to go after what God was telling him to do. And it's a heavy, can you say it's really heavy? I would say that Abraham, I don't know about you, but if God told me to sacrifice my promise, that would be tough on me. Yeah. Be rough. But here, Abraham is, I mean, he's headed out and he's going to do what the Lord told him to do. Notice that he didn't talk with Sarah about it. Notice that he didn't say, "Hey, Sarah, guess what? Yeah, guess where I'm going? Where are you going, Abraham? We'll be back." Notice that he kept what he was doing. It was basically within him. Can you say amen to that? Yes. He didn't tell his son. He walked with this thing. With that, I guess, could you call it a burden? We could. With this thing that God had told him to do. And so, man, he's walking with it. He says, okay, I'm going to walk with it. And Abraham said to his young men, "Abide here with the donkey, and I and the land will go yonder and worship and come to you again." And I like the way Abraham speaks, don't you? He's a man of faith, and so he speaks faith. "We're going to go, but we'll be back." That's pretty cool. There's something about Abraham and what he believes in God and what he's seen God do. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they were both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand to the lad." Wouldn't you say, he go, got the knife in his hand. He's going, "Oh yeah, oh yeah. Thank you, Lord." Amen. Wouldn't you say, okay. okay. Oh, man, you are almost late, God. Amen. Oh, man. Pretty close. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered. And offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you, as the seed, multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Praise God. Wouldn't you say that Abraham had quite a brighter step when he came down off that mountain, wouldn't you say? Because not only did God, when in this time of testing, not only did God stop him and say, hold on, man, I see your fear for me, that you wouldn't even withhold your son from what I asked you to do. I see it. Then God gives him this blessing. And folks, whether you know it or not, this same blessing is on each and every one of you. In blessing, he will bless you. In multiplying, he will multiply your seed. Do you understand what he's saying to you this morning? Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on here. No, I'm sorry. Genesis 17, 17 through 21. I got a bad habit of throwing out scriptures just for the heck of it. How's that sound? Genesis 17. Can I tell you that Abraham believed God? Is that what he says? Abraham was a man of faith. He was a man of believed God. And here's where God is telling him that, you know what, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham at this time is 100 years old. 100 years old. Sarah's 90. And she's a fox. Yeah. Come on. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, and so Genesis 17:17 says, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, because God had told him that she's going to have a son. Abraham already had a son. Is that right? What was his name? Ishmael. Is that right? But God had promised Abraham a son. Abraham and Sarah got a little ahead of the promise. Amen. And so Sarah decided, hey, I'm going to take it in my own hands. You can have my maiden. Abram had no problem with that. Never mind. So the Lord tells him, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, shall she bear? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Let my will be done, God, not yours. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. Come on. Hallelujah. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. You see, even before God told Abraham to take Isaac up to the mountain, God had established that he was going to establish Isaac as the seed. His promise was upon that boy. So I would say that God, because that Abraham believed God, it strengthened him when he heard, take him up and I want you to sacrifice him. There was a strength in it. Oh, man. Sometimes what seems like it's going to hurt you is a great big blessing. How many of you know that the trees, the two trees in the garden, the ones that God really had a lot of, there was a lot of impact on the man, would have been the tree of life, amen? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why would God even put that tree in there if he told him to stay away from it? Why? For simple obedience. But the tree represented a blessing for him. Can you say amen? It was a blessing for him, for Adam. Did I say Abraham? For Adam, it was a blessing for Adam in that garden to stay away from that tree. Does that make sense? Because God desires us to understand that he has nothing but good for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He has nothing but your good will in mind. He wants you to be prosperous in him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And sometimes it don't look that way. Sometimes it don't feel that way. That tree seemed like it represented something that was going to... See, we have this mindset that Jesus came to save us from God. Is that right? Because, you know, we said, well, if I do this, I do that. And I go to hell, you know. Hey, Jesus came to introduce us to ourselves. Do you know that? Can you say amen to that? I'm going to say that. I mean, when he spoke that to me, he just a few weeks ago spoke this thing into my heart, and I can't seem to move it to the side. He knows you, and you have been known since the beginning of time.
Amen.
He knows who you are. My son and I had this conversation one time years ago, and he said, Dad, how come God said he would separate the sheep from the goats? Is that right? How many are sheep? Yeah. How many are goats? You know what goats do a lot? They butt a lot. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, my, yeah, I see the promise, but. Yeah, they butt a lot. Is that right? That's what goats do. All right? Sorry. My son asked me, he goes, why would God say to the ghosts that he never knew them? This is at the time when he comes back and there's a separation and these are going into the kingdom and these are going somewhere else. Why would he even do that? Why would he say, I never knew you? Because God knew you from the beginning of time. Can you say amen? He knew you. You have been known by him. So in his knowing you, he knows exactly how to get you to where he wants you to be known by everybody the way he created you. Can you say amen to that? He created you to be known. Is that okay?
Yes.
Not only by him, but by the world around you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's who you are.
Yes.
You are Christ in you. Is that cool? That's kind of weird, huh? But that's what it is. You passed away. Jesus is now living in you. Christ in you. Hallelujah. That's why the word of God says, therefore we know no man after the flesh. Can you say amen? That's why you can't be mad at nobody. I'm telling you this. I mean, this is good. That's why you got to be forgiving to everybody around you. I don't care who it is. Is that okay? Is that all right? You got to calm down. let the juices of the Holy Ghost come up on you, man. Amen. Come on. Let the joy start filling your heart. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let the love of God begin to flow, and you watch what it does to unforgiveness. It will rip it apart. Can you say amen? Unforgiveness. Abraham knew and trusted God. Can you say amen to that? I mean, by this time, I don't know how old he was when he took Isaac. Some say that Isaac was 15 years old. So that would have put Abraham somewhere around 115, 117. Old guy. But still climbing mountains. Can you say amen to that? Hey, man, hey, don't you? Hey, just like Caleb, hey, give me my mountain. Amen. Just when your body starts telling you you can't do it, you just tell him, hey, give me my mountain. I'm going after my mountain. I'm going to walk. Yeah, I'll walk to Tucson if I have to, just to show my body, hey, I can do it. Amen. Come on. The Lord lives in this thing. Can you say amen? Go like that. The Lord lives in this thing. Say that to yourself. The Lord lives in this thing. The strength of God is in here. Come on, man. It's your perspective. You got to watch. Amen. Oh, my arthritis. Oh, my, what's this thing back here? What's that called? Yep. Sacroiliac. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this, my. Oh, come on, knock it off. Amen. Pick up the perspective of God. He dwells in here. You think he don't know that you're hurting? Ooh, come on, man. His promises, everybody, they are real. He's not a liar. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I better get going because we got some baptisms to do. Hebrews chapter 17, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 11, 17 through 19. Says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. This is where God had made that promise to Abraham. Accounting that God was able to what? I love this. This was Abraham says, okay, I'll go up there. Kill my son, okay. But you're going to have to raise him up, God. Come on, amen? Because he said, this is the promise. This is the promised son. Counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Is that okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. God does not have to lie to us. He doesn't have to tell you sweet little stories to get you to understand him. The word of God is true. Where Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. He told his son, God's going to provide himself a lamb. I want you to look at John chapter 1, verses 19 through 36. This is a record of John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? What are you? Are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Are you that prophet? And he answered, no. Notice that these Jews, they are asking him questions out of the law. They're asking him things that are coming out of the Pentateuch or the Torah, if you will. They are asking him questions about who he is. Then they said unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? And I like John the Baptist. He didn't say, well, my name's John the Baptist. Or the baptizer. He didn't tell them anything like that. He said to them, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Can you say amen? He was quoting Isaiah 40, verse 3. Can we go that real quick? Isaiah 40, verse 3. This is what John the Baptist was saying. Did I not give you that, Terry? I'm sorry. I probably... We'll wait on you. It's my fault. John the Baptist was quoting this verse here, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That word right there, if these guys were asking him questions out of the law and out of the prophets, out of that word right there, should have pointed, they should have known exactly who he was. He was the messenger, the man that announces the arrival of the king. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. Let's go back to where we're at on that. John. He says, I am one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked them and said to him, why do you baptize? Why baptizest thou then, if you be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor neither that prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to bear. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. This was when he baptized him. It was right after he baptized him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes in what? He's the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? How many say amen? How many say amen? How many say amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen.
Yes.
Jesus, that's him. That's who. He's the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost. I remember I've had people say, hey, let me pray for you and I'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And I thought it was okay. I didn't know any better. But Jesus is the baptizer, folks. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Next verse. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And then look, I want you to see this part right. So again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. Folks, this was the lamb that Abraham was talking about. God will provide himself as a lamb. Can you say amen? Jesus, as the Lamb of God, John the Baptist is looking, there he is. That's him. That's the Lamb of God. That was the greatest altar call that the world has ever seen. How many say amen? The greatest altar call known to man, Jesus heading, 3 more years, but Jesus heading to the altar to remove our sins from us. Can you say amen to that? And all you have to do is believe in him.
Amen.
And your sins are taken away. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
No more. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed them from you. Never to be picked up again. Never to be thought of again, because the kingdom of God and the mind of Christ will tell you, you're good. Can you say amen? I remember when I got saved, Jimmy Swaggart. It was when Jimmy Swaggart was on TV. How many of you know, remember Jimmy Swaggart? Yeah, some of you go, oh yeah, Jimmy Swaggart. Pray for Jimmy. Come on, man. But when Jimmy Swaggart would come out, I mean, it was a Friday night or Saturday night. Was, I don't know, babe. I don't know which one it was. But one of those two nights, he had his crusade on. And for probably like a month straight, I'm at front of my TV, I'm a sinner, I'm crying, and I'm repenting. One night, the Holy Spirit said, "You're good. They're washed." I said, "Oh," I couldn't believe it. I said, "Oh," there was such a peace that entered. Can you say amen to that? Sin brings shame. Is that right? And sometimes shame doesn't come off so easy. Can you say amen? Whew, but it needs to come off. Amen? The glory of God needs to replace the shame in your life. Can you say amen to that? Do you remember Rahab? You know what that red string was? She would hang that on her door, which meant she was available. She was a harlot. That's what that ring, that red, that crimson rope was. And she used that to let those men, the Israelites, out of her house to go down and to escape. She used her shame. You see, your shame can be used. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen? Do you understand what God is saying? Your shame can be used. It's called a testimony. It's called something that God has brought you out of, and you step up to the mic and you say, "Man, I'm going to dance for the Lord right now because God has made me free." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Ooh, come on, man.
No.
Hallelujah. Your shame
shouldn't
be holding you back. It should be helping you to promote somebody. Hey, I was like this. I used to be alcoholic. I did. But God changed my life. Amen. I couldn't change it. He changed it. And ta-da, here I am. God's still working on me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many know that? My wife would be the first one to say, "Oh, yeah, he's working on him." Come on, man. Hallelujah. But the glory of God flows into my heart, and it changes things. And I see things different. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How about you? Oh, come on, man. Hallelujah. The love of God. Because he loves you so much, he wants to express his thoughts into you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on. Hallelujah. The promise confirmed. John confirmed it twice. There goes the Lamb of God. The Bible says that by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. There he is. There's the Lamb of God. Next day, he sees him going by. Boys. Hey, go follow him. That's the Lamb of God right there. He's going to take away the sins of the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was all excited last night. You know what I was doing last night? I was filling this thing up with water. It takes a little while to get all this water in there, you know, with a little tiny garden hose like that. But God was giving me this message. I was having a good time. Without y'all here. Yeah, I was like, come on, man. Come on, God. If they were here, God, woo! The Holy Spirit, hallelujah. He takes away your sin, period. Never to be brought up again. He's not going to try to drag things up on you. He loves you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 through 19 says this. Don't be slothful. Is that right? Yeah, I'm just breaking in kind of a thought that he had, but it says that you be not slothful. In other words, don't be slothful. Don't be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. How do you inherit promises? Huh?
By standing on the word.
Faith and patience. Is that what it says? By faith and patience, you inherit the promises. The faith says God will do it. The patience says, I don't know when, but I know he'll do it. Amen? Isn't that right, Micaiah? Rebecca, isn't that right? He is going to do it. He will always come through for you. Always. He's a good God. He's not here to destroy you. He's here to strengthen you and to build you so that people can see the glory of God in the earth, so that the earth, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. How do you say amen to that? I'm ready for that, aren't you? Aren't you ready to see the glory of God all over the earth? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you be not slothful, but followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. There's no bigger sin. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to swear, but I'm going to swear by myself, is what God said, because there's nobody greater than me. I'm going to give you a double portion here of me. I'm going to swear by myself. He could swear by no greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained a promise. After he what? How many of you like being patient? No. How many need to work on your patience? Yep. Yeah. My wife has taught me to be patient. What do you mean? Oh, that's a secret. Yeah. Be patient. Yeah, okay. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men truly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more, abundantly to show the heirs of promise. Wait a minute. I think he's talking about us. Willing to show the heirs of promise. If you're an heir of promise, you need to raise your hand right now. Say, God, I'm one of them. I am one of them. You say amen? The heirs of willing to show the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. How many like the immutability? How many like that word? I used to like to watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with my grandson. Oh yeah. It means they mutated into some things, but they couldn't get back.
Right.
They went from being people to being turtles. But God is willing to show you the immutability and the unchangeable character of his word. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That what he says to you, he says, I will do it. By faith and patience, you're going to obtain these things. By faith and patience, you're going to walk in them. By faith and patience, you will see the good of the land and the land of the living. Can you say amen to that? Woo, hallelujah. He's got great things for you, folks.
Yes.
He's not trying to say, well, let's just see how long they'll wait. No, that's not God. That's not the way he is. He says, I have a time frame for this person. And in my time frame, they will see the promise that I've given them. And they will know without a doubt that I have placed upon them my word, my promise. By two immutable, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, of which it is impossible for God to what? Lie. No lie.
No lie.
That's our sermon today. This is no lie. This is no lie, folks. What you're walking in today, it's not a lie. It's real. There's a lot of Christians that have walked away and have backed up and because they didn't see what God was trying to do for them and with them, that they would back away and they would get cold. But we're not like that, are we? We are those that continue with God. Say, God, I know that you have great and mighty things for me.
Amen.
It's impossible for God to lie. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Amen?
Amen.
In which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Enters into that within the veil. Enters into that within the veil. What's he talking about? He is talking about the presence of God. your patience, your steadfastness, your faith in him enters within the veil. And God is there saying, whoa, we're going to do some stuff with these folks. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ooh, they're gonna see the treasures that I have for them. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. Enters within the veil. Hallelujah. Well, it's time for baptism. Amen? But I'm going to pray for you real quick. Did anybody get anything today? Anybody get a word? Did you get something? I just want you to know that God is, after Abe talked a little bit about deposit last week, I know that God is depositing and depositing and depositing. He's strengthening you. Can you say amen to that?
Oh.
Hallelujah. Let him have his way. Glory to God. I'm going to have to get the music team up here so they can maybe play you a couple of songs, sing along. I got to go get dressed. We'll release whoever's going to get baptized. We'll release you to go get dressed. Amen. Or undressed, but dressed. Whatever. Yeah, come on. And if there's anybody, if you're somewhere along the line, we're baptized and all of a sudden, you know what? I just want to go do that one more time. Hey, come on in. We have plenty of towels. You might have to drive home a little wet, but we got plenty of towels. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tommy, come here, bro. Yeah, I'm sorry. This young man here, he goes, this young man is like my son. How's that? We'll just say that. And this guy, always, can I get everybody say always?
Always.
Always has a good word. Amen. Come on, man. Thanks, man. Sorry, didn't talk to you about it.
All right.
That's it. Praise God.
Wow.
Be right back.
Put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't always have a good word, but the Lord always has a good word. So,
yeah, come on.
So the question is it settled within you? What is settled within you? And what does that mean? So the Lord's speaking and he has a question. And so all this stuff that was spoke of today is good words. But sometimes it's hard to believe when you're dealing with a foot injury or a shoulder or a business decision or a relationship issue or a health issue or whatever it may be. The question is, what is settled within you? And the bigger question is, this is good, right? We believe the word is good. And the word says that God is good. But is that settled within you? Is the fact that God is good, is the truth that God is good settled within you? In spite of fill in the blank, whatever that may be. And that, I believe, is the real question. Because the word is full of good promises. But sometimes it's hard for us to believe that promise because of whatever shame or sin or situation or whatever it may be. There's something that keeps us from receiving that which is good. God is love. God is good. And we can believe that about other things and other people and even situations, but sometimes it's hard to receive that within us. And he's here to tell you that you're good enough. We love because he first loved. We talked about peace today. It's his peace that he gives to you. Not anything that we can muster up or do within our own strength. It's all him. It's all God's goodness towards us. He's a good dad. He is. I think it was a few weeks ago. I don't know if I said this. I tried to say this on Wednesday a few weeks ago. But the truth is never subject to the facts. What does that mean? I know I've told that to Rachel, and she's like, what? It doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense. The truth of who God is not always evident because of facts that are surrounding us. The fact is, oh, I have a hurt foot, I have a hurt shoulder, I have a hurt back, my relationship is not good, my job situation is not good, my business, my health, the family, the state of the nation, these things are not good, and those are facts. But the truth says God is good. The truth says God is love. The truth is that you are loved. That's the truth. And the truth is never subject to the facts. The truth is never subject to the facts. So receive truth. Receive forgiveness. Receive His love. Receive His truth that greater is He in you than he that is in the world. And it is by His stripes we are healed. Though the facts may say something different, the truth says that He is good. So no matter what you deal with, no matter what you may be facing, when it is settled within you, when it is settled within you that God is good and that God's love for you is good, nothing can separate us from His love, it says. Nothing, no height, no depth, no width. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And He is good. So let that be settled within you. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter what the facts dictate to you, no matter what the state of the nation or the world is, let it be settled within you that He is good and His love for you is perfect, and He has something to show the world within you. What is in you is the hope of glory. What is in you is the hope that this nation and this city and your neighborhood and this world needs is within you. Amen.
And we will dismiss you. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for being part of the baptism. We love every one of you. And we're looking forward to seeing more and more of you guys. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.